Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. It's almost daylight out there. That must mean we're approaching the summer equinox. Okay, enough of that. It's not the summer equinox anyway, is it? What is it called? It's called the summer what? Solstice. What is it? It's June 16th. It's going to get light early today in the next couple of weeks, and then it's going to start get, well, wait a minute, it's the longest day of the year coming up, right? First day of summer. Longest day, summer, it's equinoxes in spring and fall. So is it the summer solstice? Somebody help me out here. 410-922-6680. It's too early to worry about it. Yeah, I know that it's getting lighter in the morning, and later it stays lighter later. Which means the first day summer's coming around. Hey, look here, who's on the line? Look at this, my buddy Kirk. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Not doing so hot.
Uh-oh.
I think a good-sized gudgeon had a hard time taking him on.
Buddy, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm going to put you on the spot this morning.
All right. I've
got two questions for you.
All right.
I have two fish, freshwater, saltwater, that I would target above anything else.
Let me guess.
And I think those two fish, I think a lot of people, when I say it, I think they think I'm touched. But I think they're higher along the evolutionary scale of fish. They almost have an attitude to them, and it's just just remarkable over 50 years of seeing the way they behave. But with the northern and freshwater and the Mako and saltwater,
yeah.
They're the only two fish that, I mean, they're just, they come right up there and they look at you and they'll cruise back and forth, and it's almost that they show a disdain and they show a curiosity about what's going on. Never seen bass or trout or snook or tarpon, anything act the way they do.
Right.
But if you had the chance, you could show you what fish you're going to go after or whatever. Do you have a favorite above all for fresh and salt water?
I do.
What would they be?
Smallmouth bass, freshwater.
Why the smallmouth?
Pound for pound, I just think it fights like none other. I like the way they look. I like the way they fight. I like the way they bite. I probably because I grew up catching a bunch of them when I was a kid. There's a very close second, however, and that's the walleye.
That's an interesting choice. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah.
Why?
Largemouth bass. I like catching them. I like to target smallmouth. Walleye, again, probably because I caught them when I was a kid. But pound for pound fighting ability, if you just go on that, it's going to be the bluegill on very light tackle.
But smallmouth overall.
For freshwater, yeah, probably. Now I understand your pursuit of northern pike too. I mean, top tier predator, ambush feeder. They come. You never know what they're going to hit, when they're going to hit, where they're going to hit. If you're fishing, I've caught a lot of northern pike. I've never caught any really big ones, but I've caught a lot of them, and I've caught them in Canada, and I've caught them in Pennsylvania growing up, and you know, freshwater lakes, and I enjoy fishing for them. No doubt, we used to target them all the time, get a bucket of shiners or suckers and go for them, and we just had a great time.
Have you ever had them give you the look?
Oh yeah, they come up and they just kind of get like, you want me to eat that, or okay, you got me this time, but when I get bigger, I'm going to kick your butt, teach you a lesson. You know, one of those. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've never caught a Mako. I like catching sharks, but I've never caught a Mako. And I can't tell you how that goes. In salt water, I mean, I've caught bluefin. I've caught a number of different fish in salt water. But, you know, I'm kind of an inshore guy. If I wanted to catch fish, if I wanted to target fish for salt water, it would probably be big gray trout, big gray tide runner trout.
Again, interesting. That's an interesting
trout
choice.
Well, I relate the walleye and the sea trout to, like, you know, they were separated as twins at birth, and one went to salt water and one went to fresh water.
Uh-huh.
I just see them as the same type of finesse feeder. Not a tremendous fight, but just, you know, a lot of fun to catch.
And the second question, I still fill the tackle box with the new lures and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's because, as I said, it's over 50 years, and it's,
yep.
I could get by very easily. It's what I always reach for, is the Tony,
yep.
And the Rapala.
Yep.
Those two, Rapala for the top water, Tony takes care of everything else, and that's all I need.
Top water Rapala, there's nothing like catching a fish on a top water Rapala. You can catch them on buzz baits and spinner baits and all that stuff, but you throw a top water Rapala out there, let the ripples go away, twitch that thing, watch it dip and dive, and watch that fish come up and just smash it. There's nothing like it because it's a quiet lure. You don't have to do anything. You just, all you have to, and you know, you give it all the action. You know what I mean? And you just let it float, whether you're fishing in a lake or a river or whatever it might be. You throw a Rapala out there and you twitch it and you watch it bob and weave on top of the water, that balsa wood, and just, you know, you see the action. It's a wounded fish on top of the water and that fish comes up and smacks it, or you see the fish come up underneath it and look at it. And you twitch it, and he blows up on it. I mean, there's nothing like that.
But what do you think of the effectiveness of the old lures versus the new generation of lures?
You know, I could go out there and catch a largemouth bass on a black jitterbug or a frog-colored jitterbug today just as well as I could 40 years ago, 45 years ago when I was a kid, you know, fishing in a pond. A MEP spinner, I mean, timeless. Rapala, as you mentioned. Now, I mean, I don't know, you know, creek chub, flatfish, Johnson's spoon.
When you mention those and the super duper and the CP swing, I think most people will say, the hell is that?
Yeah, right. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, and I love the plastics. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, you know, you put there's nothing that has the action of a flatfish, a lazy Ike. Come on, man. Have you ever seen these lures? Do you know what they look like? Do you know how to fish them? Oh, man, I'm telling you, you're bringing back some memories, man. How about a hula popper?
That's the unfortunate thing. When I get dragged to the antique stores and I see the lures that I used when I was a little boy,
yeah.
And they're in the antique store.
I know. You know, I had some collectible lures. I mean, old stuff from the early 1900s in the teens, the 1920s. I had some. I still have some of those. I have, you know, the old bassers and stuff with the glass eyes. And I had gotten somewhere along the line a Head & Dowagiac. Do you know what that is?
Yes, the old Head. Oh, sure.
And with the spinners on both ends. Now, that lure goes way back. Highly collectible. And Kathy had an antique shop at one time, and I said, well, I'll try some of these lures. I don't have anything in them, you know. Somebody gave them to my dad. They were an old tackle box or whatever. So I looked up the Head & Dowagiac, and I said, you know, I really don't want to sell it, but let's put a big price tag on it and see what happens. So we had bassers in there for 30, 40 bucks, and we had some creek chubs, and I can't remember them all. And so we put $125 on the Head & Dowagiac. I thought, man, nobody's going to pay $120. First lure that went, first weekend they were in the display case, gone. I'm like, man, perch colored Head & Dowagiac, but you know.
But with the Tony and the Rapala, that's like you can go anywhere in the world, catch anything, and
yeah.
have a great time. That's for sure.
Exactly right.
But so it's very nice talking to you again,
Kirk. I hope you're doing well. I mean, I know your health's not good, but, you know, keep calling us from time to time. We love hearing from you.
Oh, I will. I listen to you all the time. You have a great show.
All right. Hey, do you ever fish with live bait?
Not that often.
No?
Not that often. Because I know it's wrong to say, but when you fish with live bait, so many times you deep hook them.
Yeah, sometimes.
If you're going to let them go, it's kind of hard to do that. And with the artificials, it's a it's just rare to get them hooked deep, but when a big mako comes up to the you chum him up to the back of the boat, and instead of tossing out a hooked up live blue or anything like that, you toss out a big Tony and bring that across, and just to see him streak and hit that, and that first power that hits you, it almost like rips your arms off. He's so strong, but just to see that, I get excited just thinking about it.
There you go, man. Well, good.
I miss being around that kind of thing, and just when you said a few minutes ago about starting to get light, that time between the when you're there on the water, and that time between the dark and the light, that,
yep.
that and the water is still, the wind hasn't come up.
Yep.
It's a magical time.
It is. You're absolutely right. Nothing like it.
I say that to most people, and again, they look at me like, it's in your head.
Yeah, no, well, you know what? You got to be there to be there. You know what I mean?
That's the thing.
It's hard to tell somebody what it's about, what it's like, and you know the thoughts that go through your head when you're sitting there.
It really is, and I deeply miss it, and I hope that I can get back to it one of these days.
I hope so too, buddy.
All right. You take care.
Thanks, Kirk. Take care. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's a nice story. A fellow from Memphis, a guy by the name of Matt Bingham. He has always heard that most state record fish are caught by accident by people who never expected to land a fish that would land them in the record book. Well, now he understands where that saying comes from. On April 21st, he decided to drive to Tunica because he was tired of fishing the same old stretch of the Mississippi River in Memphis. So he headed to Tunica. He was looking for a change of scenery. What he found was a flathead catfish that had set a new state record in Mississippi. 77.7 pounds. And that now ranks as the largest ever caught from waters in Mississippi. The previous state record flathead weighed exactly 77 pounds, and Joey Pounders of Caledonia, Mississippi, caught that one in the portions of the Tennessee Tom Bigby Waterway in 2009. He was fishing. He caught three fish that weighed, 10, 12 pounds, and then he just picked up and moved. So he was fishing in a boat. He tried another area that was too windy for anchoring, so he settled on a good spot behind one of the Mississippi River's many rock dikes, and soon after he got all three of his rods baited and in the water, he got a bite. One of my rods started bending over real easy, like I picked up a leaf or something. When I first picked it up, I thought I was hung, but then that big fish started fighting. Put the rod back in the rod holder with the fish ripping out line so he could reel up the other rods to avoid the tangles. And then he began the battle with the gigantic flathead that lasted more than 10 minutes. Fish went straight down under his boat. Every time Bingham would reel the brood up within 20 or 30 feet, he would dive back down on another ferocious run. Finally got the fish to one side of the boat and made one failed swipe at it with his oversized dip net. And then after standing up on the side of his boat to take a better swing at the giant, he managed to net the fish with one hand while holding his rod and reel in the other. Imagine that, 77-pound fish, one hand on the fishing rod, the other one on the net. Well, he tried to figure out what it would weigh. He called a buddy by the name of James Big Cat Patterson of Bartlett and told him, the folks from the Tunica River Park were looking for a big catfish to display in their aquarium. Well, long story short, he certified the scale at Kimball's Fish Company in Memphis, and 77.7 pounds. Now, he was fishing on an Arkansas fishing license that day. That's legal in some Mississippi waters because the two states share a border. They have a reciprocal enforcement agreement. I wasn't sure if he could qualify for the record, blah, 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 but he did. On May 8th, he certified it for the state record. So they kept the catfish, tried to keep it alive at Tunica River Park for several weeks to make sure it wasn't carrying any diseases. He was given antibiotics, but, flatheads are meat eaters, and park officials were concerned it would devour all the other fish it was placed in the main aquarium. Been there, done that. But it was placed in the park's alligator display, and unfortunately the aeration system broke down and it died on May the 12th. But he was using a medium-heavy action quantum big cat rod, a quantum Cabco CLW20 reel, 65-pound braid, a 9-aught Cayley hook, and a skipjack herring for bait. So apparently, he was after some pretty doggone big fish at that time. So, just thought you'd like to know. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. You know, you can catch a citation fish in Maryland and qualify for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the great grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish, and you know what? You can even catch a citation-sized crab. That started last year. 9 inches is the size the crab has to be from point to point. And you certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish and one species of crab in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. By the way, that's not unattainable. A buddy of mine showed me some pictures last night. I think he was from the Y or the Miles. I'm not sure which. I think the Y River, but I'm not sure. Over 7 inches, blue crabs. He said they were all like that. But anyway, you can stop by your local citation center, or you can visit dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge. And don't forget, Diamond Jim is out there, too, swimming in Chesapeake Bay. He's a tagged rockfish. If you catch him, he's worth $10,000 by the end of this month. And lots of imposters are out there, too, with tags in there. In their belly, and you can check that out. If you catch one with a bright green spaghetti tag, call the number on the tag, and you might just have won a $10,000 prize. www.dnr.maryland.gov for, again, the details on the Maryland Fishing Challenge this year, honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. Are you feeling lucky?
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, what's in your bed? I mean, your truck bed. I mean, there's probably a toolbox in there. Maybe there's some, you know, some tools. Maybe you're a working man. Maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're a painter. Maybe you got all kinds of stuff back there, an electrician or a welder, whatever it might be. Well, why not protect your truck bed? Maybe you're a farmer. Why not protect your truck bed with Linex Protective Spray-On Bed Liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie? Now, Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. If you'd like to have a collar to match the vehicle, if you got a blue truck, you want a blue bed liner. If you got a red truck, you want a red bed liner. Or a white truck and you want a white bed liner, well, let's be patriotic, red, white, and blue. Why not? Well, you could do that with the Linex bed liner. The color, it's the Linex Extra is what it's called. It's a color-coated DuPont Kevlar. It uses the paint coat on your truck to provide you with that factory-finished look, offering superior protection. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one in customer satisfaction, and they have a nationwide lifetime guarantee. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie also offers a mobile service to your job site for commercial and industrial applications, from underground holding tanks and secondary containments, and they can coat anything, decks, and forklifts, you name it. Linex Protective Coatings. Well, if you'd like to know more, visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com or stop by 400 Arundel Corporation Road. That's Bay I, just off Beltway Exit 3A or right off Ritchie Highway. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199 and ask for my friend Bobby Hawkins. Mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors and learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card, Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Now more than just bedliners.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What are you doing to me, man? That's like Cher from the 60s. When her and Sonny were... Was that pre-Chad or after Chad?
Seasons came and changed the time and I grew up.
Chaz, whatever. Chaz, Chaz, Charlie, Chuck, Charlene. Oh, we're trying to reach an audience? Well, I've been evolving on that. Yeah, I've been evolving on that. You know? All right. Please, enough of Cher.
However, I did see Sonny and Cher in concert and got to ask him a question. I was 13, maybe. I'm 58. That's 45 years ago. How does that make Cher? I think that was pre-person, whatever their offspring was. Yeah. No, actually, it was a great concert. There were two nights. It was Spencer Davis, the Turtles, and the Vogues on one night, and that was downtown. And then out on the outskirts of town, actually at the skating rink where I went to skate every Saturday, they filled the place with Sonny and Cher and fans. And they actually, at that point, took questions from the audience. You know, it was, you know, peace, love, and rock and roll back in those days, you know. I'm talking about, well, 45 years ago. How long ago is that? Yeah, 67. Yeah, very good. You're very quick at math. Yeah. Yeah, I probably have my burgundy bell bottoms on. Who knows? I don't know. Do what? No plant life. No, too young for that. I never did that anyway. No. I had some... No. All right. I'm going way too far back for me to even comment on. But we'd like to hear from our listeners. 410-922-6680. 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. Anything you'd like to talk about. It was great hearing from Kirk. But now it's time to hear from you. I want to hear about your fishing or crabbing or hunting adventures, if you have one. And share it with our audience and maybe any questions you might have. By the way, I've been plagued by raccoons on the porch for years and finally decided to take some action and do something about it. So set the trap, the live trap, and caught my first raccoon. He did enjoy peanut butter and jelly on raisin bread for his last meal. By the way, in case you do catch a raccoon or any other critter, there are some rules and regulations you have to know about. Once you catch one, you are not allowed to relocate. No, that's one species you're not allowed to relocate, which is a raccoon. So you have to take the appropriate action and send him to his 72 virgins, if you like. If not, don't catch him if you can't do it. Well, I guess I probably should. Let's see. What's new on the... Oh, here's your smart, green, and growing tip, by the way. When packing a lunch for you or your family each morning, don't miss the opportunity to reduce packaging waste. The average American child annually throws away 67 pounds of lunchbox trash, costing school districts valuable dollars to collect and dispose of the trash. So small changes such as using a reusable insulated bag instead of paper bags and utilize washable containers instead of plastic sandwich bags can greatly lower your waste contribution. And there's more ideas if you click here. This is from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, by the way. You know, when I was a kid, I had a thermos and a lunchbox. None of this paper bag stuff. And I think my sandwiches were probably wrapped in wax paper or aluminum foil. And I don't remember throwing all that stuff in the trash. I don't remember plastic sandwich bags at all. Maybe, but, you know, it went home in a lunchbox with me. You'd put your stuff back in your lunchbox and took it home with you. Claude, West Baltimore, good morning.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you know the ships are in the Inner Harbor, right? All these ships. And
Yeah. I heard about that. I was thinking about going down there today, but I changed my mind.
That's a good thing. But
wait a minute. Why is that a good thing that I don't show up in downtown Baltimore?
Because all the gangbangers come down. So, look, here's what we need. We passed a ruling. We talked to the mayor, and we passed this ruling this weekend. All the police and the state attorney agree, if you're going to rob anybody this weekend down there, you got to use flintlock pistols, swords, or musket balls or cannonballs. Anything else is a felony.
I see. Okay.
So you can't rob them, like, you know, with a regular pistol. You got to use them cannonballs or flintlock guns.
Okay. Well, you know, you can, you know, being forewarned is being forearmed.
Right.
So anyway.
There's a lot of people who've been down there to see the ship, though, Alan.
Oh, I'm sure. It's a great thing. No question about it. Yeah, I mean, it's a great tourist attraction for downtown Baltimore. And, you know, people like to see that kind of historical stuff. I mean, what is this, the anniversary of the War of 1812? I'm certainly glad we won that.
That was the Civil War, right?
No, that would have been the War of 1812. Some people call it the Second Revolutionary War.
Oh, the Second Revolutionary. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, no, the War of 1812. You see, 1812 and then 1812. Then 1912, that was like 100 years ago, and now it's 2012. So
right.
That would be the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812, when the British invaded our shores and burned the White House.
Okay.
You know, you remember North Point?
Right, the Battle of North Point?
Yeah. You remember Fort McHenry?
Right.
Yeah, what happened there?
It was fighting.
Hey, good. That's right.
To save Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, you know when that happened?
1812.
Yeah, 200 years ago. And you know why the ships are in the harbor?
To celebrate.
Now you're putting it all together, Claude. Very good.
I'm a detective. I should be able to put it together. But anyway, Alan, would you eat them crabs out of the Inner Harbor?
No.
Me either. But you know, a lot of people eat those crabs.
Yep.
I don't know why. I wouldn't eat them.
We've had this discussion before. No, I would not eat crabs out of Curtis Creek or in the Inner Harbor.
No way.
Nope.
Too much junk in it.
Well, you know, they're bottom feeders, and they eat what they breathe the water, they live in the water, they
right.
eat what's in the water, you know, and I'm no. The answer is no.
I agree. How about the Chesapeake Bay?
Absolutely.
Even though it's
absolutely, I would eat crabs out of the Chesapeake Bay, and no question about it. No question about Chesapeake Bay crabs. You can't beat them. The Miles River, the Wye River.
Right.
The Chester River, main stem of the bay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, buddy.
How about you?
Oh, yeah. I'm from the Eastern Shore.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, Centerville.
Okay.
Right down there by the Wye River.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yep.
They make good seasoning, too, Wye River seasoning. Well, so does J.O. Spice. They make real good seasoning.
Good cover, Claude.
See you, buddy.
All right, man. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Ah, yeah. let's see. Oh, my. Let's see what else is happening here. we could do that. So what do you think? Do we need to establish a flathead catfish record for Maryland, since we're catching them 30, 40 pounds now in the Susquehanna? Or should we continue to assail the fact that they are an invasive species? I think that we're not going to get rid of them. You know, we're not gonna accept them as a game fish, and just like the blue cat, even though there is a record for that. But anyway, let's see. Oh, the Gunpowder Falls Trail went to dedication to Lefty Cray this past week on the 11th. Governor Martin O'Malley dedicated the Gunpowder South Trail, the Lefty Cray Fishing Trail, in honor of the native Marylander Bernard Victor Lefty Cray. He's a world-renowned fishing writer and a teacher who has forever influenced the sport through his books, columns, and inventions. Nice guy. We interviewed him at the Fishing Challenge last year, and he He was born in Frederick in 1925. Over his remarkable 75-year career, he shared his enthusiasm and skill for fishing through his columns, his books, and his presentations. He's known for his commitment to Maryland's natural resources, using every available means to promote conservation and clean water and giving back to the outdoors. DNR is also honoring Lefty Cray this year through the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge. Over the summer, DNR will tag and has tagged and released as many as 600 tagged rockfish worth at least $500 each and one grand prize diamond gem. Each month, diamond gem goes uncaught. The bounty increases from $10,000 this month, June $20,000 in July, and $25,000 in August. Lefty Cray, who lives in Cockeysville, we know Lefty, and Lefty knows us. I'll never forget the first day I met him. He never said, "Hello, I'm Lefty Cray." He just told me a joke right off the get-go. I was introduced to him, and he shook my hand, and he asked me a question, which turned out to be a riddle, which turned out to be a joke. And that was pretty funny. Anyway, he still lives in Cockeysville. He's written more than 30 books. He's produced numerous instructional videos on fishing and outdoor photography. He continues to write and has a new book underway as usual. And the first time I ever saw Lefty Cray was my dad and I were watching the old American Sportsman with Kurt Gowdy. And I think I've told this story before, maybe numerous times, of Lefty and Jimmy Dean fishing for salmon. And it was quite an event. Quite an event. Here's another note from the Department of Natural Resources. We got some pictures of a bear from out in Howard County, out near West Friendship area, that area out there. Bears are moving through Maryland, throughout Maryland. It is important to observe bears from afar. It's important to observe bears from afar. Well, I heard they're afraid of FAR. And minimize human-bear interactions by reducing sources of food that humans unintentionally leave available to the bears. Bears will readily take advantage of human-provided food sources. Those living in or visiting bear country can help keep Maryland's black bears wild by being proactive and exercising good judgment. Keeping bears wild is a community effort that benefits both the bears and people, said the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Game Mammal Section Leader Harry Spiker. A few simple precautionary measures can make all the difference. Trash and bird feeders are the two sources that often lure bears into residential areas. So does leaving dog food or cat food on your porch. Trash should be locked up in a bear-proof container or inside a building until the day of pickup. Additionally, rinsing out trash cans with ammonia will help eliminate any food odors that might attract a bear. Outdoor grills can also be an attractant to bears and should be stored indoors when possible or thoroughly cleaned regularly to remove food residue. Homeowners should remove bird feeders from April through November to avoid attracting bears. Songbirds will not suffer from the change because there are many wild food sources for birds during this time of year. For those who insist on feeding birds during this time, be sure to bring the feeders in at night when most bears are active. For more on how to avoid bear encounters, call the Western Region DNR Service Center if you like. And since most bears are roaming that area, that would probably be a good idea. Hey, you know, a sunroom. A lot of people have sunrooms, and you can too, and reasonably priced as well. A sunroom is where you can read or entertain your friends or family year-round in a relaxing, stress-free setting. The talented craftsmen at Sunrooms Incorporated can make your ideas come alive in a tailor-made all-season sunroom that blends with your home and provides a climate-controlled room where you can enjoy nature even on the worst days. Now, Sunrooms, Inc., that's as in Incorporated, has years of experience and uses the most up-to-date, energy-efficient materials and windows. I've personally visited a Sunrooms, Inc.'s job site and watched as they constructed a custom Energy Star-rated sunroom with a lifetime warranty for a homeowner in Anne Arundel County. Now, you know what? I was extremely impressed with the materials, the workmanship, the the cleanliness that the Sunrooms Inc. crew used. Simply put, Sunrooms Inc. has the best sunroom technology, the most sunroom options, custom sunroom installation, a lifetime warranty on all sunrooms and certified installers. Sunrooms Inc. can visit you, and they can give you an estimate anywhere in Maryland, Delaware, Southern Pennsylvania. Visit the website, sunroomsinc.net, sunroomsinc.net, or call toll-free 800-401-3074. Write that down, 800-401-3074, to learn more about your new sunroom. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is a tagged rockfish. He's worth up to $10,000. He's swimming in the Chesapeake just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500. Catch a rockfish with a bright green tag. Call the number on the tag. You might have just have captured a $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in, and it's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. You could win great prizes, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, or a great vacation from the World Fishing Network. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing. That's 2012. That would be the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812. Not the Civil War, no. That's why the ships are in the harbor. The Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim and honoring Maryland's own Lefty Cray. www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Les Consolving. Is euthanasia or suicide to avoid immense pain evil? Monday night, 9 to 11 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John. Big Bad John.
So how come when I mention Jimmy Dean, you always play Big Bad John? Why is that? Oh, it was his only hit. That's right. Now I remember. Yes. And a crashes blow from a huge right hand. Sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land. Hey, this month along the Potomac River between Harper's Ferry and Seneca Breaks near Darnestown, a very popular spot for smallmouth fishing, well, you might be approached by somebody who's taking a creel survey. DNR, in cooperation with the Potomac River Smallmouth Club and the Maryland Bass Federation, will conduct the survey, which will help improve DNR's catch rate data. The information will help biologists track smallmouth bass population trends and gauge the effects of regulations. My favorite fish. If you're approached by a creel clerk, that's what they're calling. That's what they're calling the volunteers now, creel clerks. A creel clerk, please consider participating. Now, that's my buddy, John Mollican, who I fished for walleyes with this spring up on the Upper Potomac. You'll be helping the smallmouth bass fishery and might even win some money. The survey will collect basic fishing information from anglers via postage prepaid survey cards, which will be distributed to anglers on the river. In November, DNR will randomly draw 10 winners from the survey submissions who will each receive a $50 prepaid debit card. The 2012 survey ends on October 31st. So if you're fishing up that way near Darnestown, near Seneca Breaks or Harper's Ferry, a very, very popular area, DNR asks anglers to understand that this is a useful and cost-effective way of collecting important information, which will help shape prudent fisheries management decisions. Prudent means wise. Yes, John Mollican, you can contact him if you like, and his email address and phone number are on this bit of press information. And there's a picture of a very skinny smallmouth batch that's been stretched, I guess, to fill the space there on the press release. But it still resembles one to some degree. But if you are if you're headed up to the Potomac and you like fishing for smallmouth with maybe a head and tiny torpedo, or you like to throw something out on the surface, a little number 9 gold Rapala. Oh, man. And those big old smallmouth come up and you think they've hit it, and all they've done is look at it and flipped and slapped it with their tail to try to kill it. Yeah, you'll never hook them. But when they come up and decide to eat it, they'll blow up on that thing, and that's what makes it all worthwhile. The water's moving, the lure's moving, you're twitching it, and here comes this big explosive spray coming out of the water, and all of a sudden there's no lure, and you don't even realize you've got the fish on, and then, up, there it is, and you set the hook, and the fight is on. They jump. Oh, my. What fun. What fun. Used to fish the North Branch of the Potomac up near Springfield, West Virginia, just about every weekend for a number of summers when I was a kid. A fellow that worked for my dad would pick me up, and we'd drive down with him and maybe his brother, maybe his nephew, maybe his son, and we'd wet wade. We'd go out on Friday night, and we'd take our 4x4 seine, and we'd seine for minnows, and we'd put them in a milk can. And we would put the milk can in the back seat of the car, and we'd head down to the river. And each one of us had our own individual minnow bucket, floating minnow bucket. We'd tie that to our belt. We'd scoop out some minnows. We'd put them in the minnow can. And we'd walk into the river at the crack of dawn. We'd hear the turkeys gobble. We'd hear the whippoorwills. We'd hear the barred owls hooting up and down the river in the canyons. What a great day. What a memorable morning. You listen, and the whippoorwills are just at that perfect time, you hear the whippoorwills. And soon after the whippoorwills, you hear the barred owls. And soon after you hear the barred owls, you hear the turkeys booming up and down the river in the spring, turkey gobblers calling. And you step into the river with the turkeys gobbling, and you put a minnow on the hook, and you toss it out there, and man, pretty soon the fight is on. Nothing like it. Nothing like going fishing on a warm summer day with the water flowing around your legs and in your shoes. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Does it inspire you to go? I hope so. Well, right now, let me tell you about our friends down at Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. You just take Route 100 all the way to the end. You hit Mountain Road, you head towards Gibson Island, and 2.5 miles on the right-hand side, you find Fishbones Bait and Tackle. They have what they say they have. They have bait and tackle. All types of bait for fresh and saltwater fishing, all types of tackle for the same. They also have a lot of crabbing stuff, crabbing gear, including those big, old stainless steel, not old, big stainless steel crab steamers that come in 3 sizes, a half bushel, a bushel, and a bushel and a half. If you want to steam some crabs, and you can certainly. It comes with a basket, comes with a lid, has her name right on the top, Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Yes, indeed. It'll be the last crab steamer you'll ever buy, and it is time to start steaming up those crabs. I told you, buddy of mine. Actually, the guy that owns Sunroom, Inc., sent me a picture last night of a big old crab that was over 7 inches long on his ruler, 7 inches point to point. And he said they were all like that. Well, those are good crabs to steam up, let me tell you. Fishbones has the steamers. Give them a call, 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle on Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. Now, do you realize that it is not that long until we'll start talking about goose hunting? That's right. The resident goose season starts September 1. For those of you who didn't know, the archery season starts a week early this year on the 7th. They've changed the regulation to now open the bow season on the first Friday after Labor Day. But goose season opens on the 1st, just like dove season, and it's a resident goose season and big limits and all that. But now is the time to check out the folks at Sean Mann. On SeanMann.com is the website. You can see all the goose calls, all the duck calls, all the different varieties of calls that Sean Mann produces. And they sell them right out of his warehouse down there in the Eastern Shore in Easton. You can call them toll-free if you like, 1-800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. Place your order if you like. Talk to them. Maybe you could book a trip with Sean for Canada or for maybe later in the season here in Maryland, if you like. But the Eastern Shoreman is the one I like to recommend. It's capable of reproducing all the sounds of a Canada goose, and it's easy to operate. It's the one I started with. And it's the one that I know a lot of guys carry in their game bags. When they're out, they're duck hunting maybe or something like that, or maybe they're goose hunting, they'll pull out that Eastern Shoreman and they'll start calling to those geese. And we've all been successful with them. So why not? SeanMann.com, Sean Mann at 1-800-345-4539, and the Eastern Shoreman Goose Call, born and bred right here on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I invite your phone calls. We have room for a couple more callers. Don't wait till the next hour, but give us a call right here. Let's see what else we've got going on here. Excuse me. If you do happen to see a bear this month, by the way, just don't panic. He's probably just traveling through. Those young black bears travel this time of year. The reason is it's breeding season. And those bears are, let's see. The mother breeds in June, and then she doesn't breed again for 2 years. So she gives birth in the den in the wintertime. So those bears are a year and a half old. They might be 150 pounds, which is not a very big black bear. Although they look big. They look much bigger than that compared to your average, you know, run-of-the-mill backyard dog or raccoon or anything else you're used to seeing. A black bear does look pretty big, and they can be scary, but they're not really. Not as much as you think. Now, they could be aggressive, no question about it. Don't get in their way. Just avoid them. And if you see one, take a picture, and you don't have to call anybody because they'll just eventually walk away. They're trying to establish a new territory, and they might hang around a day or two or three or four, but they'll eventually move. They can roam, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles a day if they like. They're just bopping along looking for a place to establish themselves, and most of them will wander on up into Pennsylvania or they'll wander back to Western Maryland. And, they'll go Frederick or maybe they'll hang out in the reservoirs or something like that, but it's cool. And you don't bother them, and usually they don't bother you. Let's talk to Mike in Randallstown. Morning, Mike. How you doing?
Morning. How you doing, Alan?
Good. What's up?
Just wanted to call and wish you a happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you, and to all the fathers out there. We appreciate that.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I remember I called you last year on Father's Day, and we talked about both of our fathers.
Yep.
And, I just wanted to repeat that and wish you a happy Father's
Day. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, we had a lot of memories with my dad, and you know that's probably formed some of my opinions about Kirk. We had that call there in the beginning, and he said, "What's your favorite fish?" Well, smallmouth fishing with my dad, walleye fishing with my dad, probably two of the reasons I like those species, but we fish for a lot of northern pike and catfish, and we went to Canada, and we went to Florida, and we caught bluefish in Maryland, and so, you know, I just, a lot of memories, man, no question about it. A
lot of good memories. Huh?
Yep, deer hunting and, you know, all that stuff, so it's all good, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Alan, well, like I said, happy Father's Day, and I hope you have a very nice day tomorrow.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, and you have a good one too, buddy.
Thank you.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't that nice? That's a nice way to end the hour with a call. Wish everybody happy Father's Day. So, well, I think we'll take a break here in a little bit. We'll you hear the music start to play. We'll go to the news, and then after that, we would hope that you would join us in a phone conversation. I bought a new computer. I needed it. Mine was dying, and all my emails from my private email address, my address book, are all locked in the old computer. New computer's finding it hard to get used to. I have to figure out how to get permission to open up all my files. It's just a mess. If you don't have to do it, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, make sure you have some kind of a backup for your files. And you hear a lot of ads for Carbonite on the air. And some of these backup systems, I'll tell you what, nothing like them. So I did get all my files back, just my email from Outlook Express. I couldn't get that, but there's a whole list of things I could do to do it. I just haven't. So, anyway, I hate technology, but it's a necessary part of this environment. Wouldn't be talking to you right now if it weren't for technology, would we? Wouldn't be able to get your emails.